Okay, we're holding here in our third part on Chol HaMoed, trying to navigate, to understand the makeup of the day, the halachic status. We left off last week, we were discussing the question of whether or not one is permitted to go fishing for pleasure, or fishing, or for that matter, apple picking, unless you really intend on eating 150 apples that you brought back. But again, we did mention Mr. Brewer holds that you could pick many apples because you want to get the best of them. But if you're going to be picking apples and then you're going to be eating leftovers for supper, and you're really going to not use the apples at all, you're going to use them after Yom Tif, it is quite a machloikis achroinim if that would be permissible. We did mention the opinion of Rav Moshe Feinstein, who is lenient, but nonetheless, that is slightly more questionable. Moving on to discuss another very interesting category of shilas that come up on Chol HaMoed, is we know that you're allowed to cook on Chol HaMoed. That was last week's shir. You're allowed to cook for Chol HaMoed. We know from our shurim on Yom Tif that whenever you talk about cooking, there's something called Oichal Nefesh. That's cooking. Then there's Machshirei Oichal Nefesh. Those things that enable you to cook, such as the oven, stove. That's called Machshirei Oichal Nefesh. So, what about Machshirei Oichal Nefesh when it comes to Chol HaMoed? What is the halachic status of those things that are not directly food, but they're essential to get the food made? Let's say, for example, your oven breaks in a Chol HaMoed. How do you go about fixing in a Chol HaMoed? So that's what we're going to discuss a little bit this evening. So the Shulchan Aruch writes in number one, Tanu v'kiraim she'evsha she'eveshu v'yafa behem emoed. If you have an oven, Tanu v'kiraim, these are two different types of oven structure in the times of the Mishnayis, times of the Gemara, and you need them, so then oisin. V'imlav ein oisin oisim. Says Mr. Brewer, what does it mean oisin? Afilu ma'isa uman. Let's say you have a broken oven that only you need a professional to fix. Ma'isa uman. So we already learned in previous shurim that there's something significantly different between what's called an uman, a professional, a hedyot, and an amateur. Says Mr. Brewer, when it comes to fixing the oven, you can even use ma'isa uman. Why? Kivichu tzarech oichal nefesh, because it's necessary for oichal nefesh. Says Mishnah, but what happens if the oven was giving you trouble already before Yom Tif? But you figured, you know what? Well, I'm eating out the meals the first days, and Chol HaMoed, I'll be home. So when they tell me in the place they're coming between 9 and 6, so Chol HaMoed, I'll sit home the whole day. Says the Mishnah Berurah, if you planned it out, nearer the Asr. Says the Mishnah Berurah, that you're not allowed to do. We're talking about now the oven first broke on Chol HaMoed. The oven broke on the first day Yom Tov, broke Matzah Yom Tov. But if you knew the oven was giving you trouble, you knew the fridge was giving you trouble, and you figured, you know what? Let's take care of it on Chol HaMoed. You'll delay it to Chol HaMoed. That's talking not allowed. You're not allowed to plan it out. Although we mentioned last week, you could plan out cooking, perhaps. Let's say, for example, you figured, you know what? I have a whole week before Yom Tov that I could do all the cooking for the second days. But you know what? I'd rather go shopping and cook for the second days on Chol HaMoed. That is permitted. You can't cook for Chol HaMoed for after Yom Tov, but you can cook for Chol HaMoed on Yom Tov. That you could do, but this you cannot do. If the oven is starting to give you trouble, and you figure, you know what, I'll wait till Chol HaMoed to fix it, that is not allowed. So Paskin,
just take a day off work before Yom Tov in order to get it fixed, then you're losing money. If you wait till Chol HaMoed...
Good. So I'll have to wait till Belina. The next week we're going to discuss that shaila of how to figure out Dover Ovid with that account for Dover Ovid. So Belina, that will be hopefully next week's discussion. Next halacha in Shulchan Aruch is the Ramah. This is in Tovkov Mem. He writes, Haga, Umutu lechadeit sakim mud. You're allowed to sharpen a knife, right? We know you're not allowed to sharpen a knife on Yom Tif, but you're allowed to sharpen a knife on Chol HaMoed. Vesakin shenishbar b'moed. Let's say the knife breaks. Mutter lasei sacher. You can make a new knife. The knife breaks, you can fix the knife. Okay. Now, the Mishnah Berurah writes over an interesting chiddush. He writes, Vafilu ef shaloi b'she'ela. Even if you can borrow one. So let's say, for example, I have a utensil in the kitchen that breaks. But I could technically borrow space in my neighbor's fridge. Or let's say, for example, I have, any one of the electronic devices that we have today that helps in the cooking process. A blender, a food processor, whatever that may be. But my breaks. So the question is, should I fix it or should I just borrow a neighbor? Says Mr. Brewer, you don't have to borrow a neighbor's. You can completely, without a doubt, have an uman come. You can bring it to a professional, have a professional come, even though you could you could borrow your friend's oven, right? Your neighbor's away. A little easier if you live in an apartment building, right? You live in a house, that's much more work, but you live in an apartment building. Across the hall, a guy has an oven. So you say, why should I bring in a guy to fix the oven? I can just borrow my neighbor's oven. Says Mr. Brewer, no. Completely, no question. You can go fix it, even though you have the option of borrowing. So that's the first halacha we have to learn tonight, is that anything related to cooking, things that are in the kitchen that break on Chol HaMoed, No problem getting the fix, even if it requires a ma'isa uman. Says Ibshalom, says the Shemir Shabbos Kachasa number 5. He makes it even clearer for us. He writes, Loi rakets amalachas letzorcha echol nefesh. Not only is echol nefesh permissible, obviously cooking and all that. Elagam amalachas mebamachshiri echol nefesh. Dainu kol malachas inam nasa beguf adovish inen imenu. Avalhein bo'os letakin es hakelim hanachutzim lachonis echol nefesh. They are not the actual food, but they are what enables you, what helps you create the food. Going hashchazas hasakin tikune kire hagaz. Let's say the gas breaks, or tikun beres hamayim. Let's say the sink, the faucet goes. Now we're going to get into a slew of plumbing shilas. What happens if the sink goes? You can't really do too much cooking without a sink, right? Or let's say tikun hamikare hachashmali. Let's say your refrigerator goes. It's very hard to cook, store things. Tikun ha'marvel, a mixer. So all these things that are not food, but they are all involved in creating the food. You can't make a food without a mixer, you can't make a food without a processor, you can't make good potato cook unless you have a food processor. All those utensils that many of us maybe are not so familiar with, you have to go home and check with your wife what they are, but if you know your way around the kitchen, so the big things, the oven, the stove, the refrigerator, those things that are all going to be essential for having food, they can all be fixed in the Chalmoid without... Again, if they're not needed, let's say you're eating at all the meals, then you don't need it. Then it's not Letzorech HaMoed. But we're talking about, it's Letzorech HaMoed, you need it. So you can say to yourself, well, I can always borrow, I can eat out. No. Again, if you're talking not eating home, so then, the guy's going away for Pesach. Again, if you're going to be using them, if there's a potential possibility that you might use them, then you can get them fixed. Okay, so that's one simple category of not only food, but anything that's related to food. There's a Shaila in the Achronim. What do you consider your dining room table? What's your dining room table considered? Is your dining room table considered machshirei oichal nefesh, or it's like two steps removed? My dining room table doesn't prepare the food. My dining room table is what holds up the food. Well, let's say, for example, chol hamoed, one of the chairs break, and you need an uman to fix the chair. So obviously you can't eat if you don't have a chair. You're not going to sit on the floor and eat your food. Well, let's say one of the legs of the table break. Where are you going to eat? You're going to eat on the floor. You can eat, in the kitchen. That's not the way to eat a Yom Tov meal. But you could argue, it's not really oichal nefesh. It's not even machshirech. The food's prepared. It's just that you have nowhere to eat. So that's a machloikas achroinim. I didn't go into it over here on the Maamar Kaimis, but it's a discussion amongst the achroinim. How would you look at this? If your table or chair breaks to the point where it's unusable and your mamish have nowhere to eat the meal, that's a question if you can use an uman or perhaps only a maisa hedge. Okay, next category. Very interesting category. Says the Shulchan Aruch. A lady is allowed to do all her tachshitin on Chol HaMoed. We're up to number 6. Koicheles upaikeses. She's allowed to put on makeup, but normally you don't put on makeup. A lady's not allowed to put on makeup on Shabbos for Yom Tov. Putting aside the Yom Tov and Shabbos makeup that they have now, maybe one day we'll talk about it. But normally women don't put on makeup, it's a malacha. But a lady can put on Chol HaMoed, it's okay. Uma'averis srak al paneu v'tefelas asma. She's allowed to even have hair removal of her face. Besid with a dye, with a sid, ukiyaitseba. Bushatucha lesalka b'moed. Uma'averis se'er b'vesechach b'se'ever. She's allowed to remove any armpit hair, or if she has hair in other parts of the body. Be'en b'yad be'en b'kli. Uma'averis sakin al pat chasoy. She's allowed to have all her hair removal is permitted for a lady. Her head is questionable, but we're talking about anywhere that a lady is using hair removal to make her look beautiful, that's all mutar on Chol HaMoed. That's not mutar on Yom Tov, it's not mutar on Shabbos, but there's a special heter that a lady is allowed to be worried and concerned about her personal appearance. She's allowed to put on makeup, she's allowed to put on stuff on her face that will improve her skin, she's allowed to put on stuff that will remove hair. Hair removal is permitted for a lady on Yom Tov.
Even though by men you can't do it, right?
That's correct. Even though for a man it would not be mutar. That's correct.
Well.
There's a special heter. Now what is this heter? Says the... Yeah.
We say Meister Uman. Referring only to a paid person or just means
no.
Real people who skill
no.
Have to be take a car part and put together, but they're not mechanics.
No. Meister Uman is you. This requires skill. Your average person walking down the street cannot do.
It's not a job.
It's not about money. No. If you yourself can do it, let's say, for example, you yourself are a skilled plumber, you would not be able to do a Meister Uman to your own house. Because that's a certain level of malach. There's a chiddush we mentioned last week, which maybe we'll talk about later. Rabbi Yaakov Kamnetsky has a chiddush where he holds you're not allowed to take pictures of the Chol HaMoed. Because he holds that's a Maisa Uman. So the question, what's the Maisa Uman? My 2-year-old daughter takes better pictures of myself than I can. Why is it a Maisa Uman? The answer is the Maisa Uman is not in the person doing it, it's the result of the act. When you take a picture on a cell phone, that's a professional picture. I was taken by a child, doesn't matter. It's not who does it, it's the outcome. So that's a better way of being magdirit. The way of Ma'aseh Uman is considered what type of job is required. Does it involve skill, or not only skill to do it, but does it produce a skilled outcome? That's the way Rabbi Yaakov looks at it. But either way, I heard it once many years ago, a shift from Rabbi Belsky. Well, he thought a lot of the mechanical work that we do today on the car is a Ma'aseh Hedget. I don't know. Depends on the circles. The guy always seem to be more handy under the car. Most Hamishi don't know what they're doing under the hood. But the average guy walks down the street, always seems like he knows what he's doing under his car. So he thinks, yeah, basic mechanical work is Taka Ma'aseh Hedget. Why do you bring it to a mechanic? Okay, but most of us can probably figure it out. I don't know. I would think not. I would think basic car work is a Ma'aseh Uman. Basic plumbing, we spoke about this last week. Some plumbing, obviously, to plunge a toilet is a Ma'aseh Hedget. But snaking it and more creative types of things, that might be a Ma'aseh Uman. Now, is it possible that there are plenty of regular people who know how to do it? It's possible. But it still requires a certain level of skill to be able to do it. So this is always very tricky to figure out what's considered a Ma'aseh Uman versus a Ma'aseh Hedget. So you have to ask yourself, can your average Joe do this? Not your average from guy. He for sure can't. Your average guy. Guy more talented than us.
Changing a tire. That's
changing a tire is a big shot on the poiskim. Changing a tire. Is that a Ma'aseh Uman or is that a Ma'aseh Hedget? So most yeshiva guys can't change a tire, but most guy can probably change it. Your average guy on the street knows how to change a tire. Okay? I happen to go to a mechanic in Queens. It's a from people. It's a lady. She knows how to change. She told me she knows how to change a tire. From lady. She told me she was taught how to change a tire. Yeshiva boys today don't know how to change a tire.
I had a friend who used to say,
know how to do these things. It's true, your average yeshiva boy doesn't know anything about these things. So to him, everything's Tim turning on the car is a Ma'aseh Uman, So you have to be able to be magdir, what exactly is an Uman versus a Hedget. It does need further discussion, but the Be'er Halacha quotes a very important ritva over here. The ritva says, why is a lady allowed to do all this hair removal? Why is she allowed to put on makeup? Zok to Be'er Halacha number 7, Shezet Tzairich HaGuf, a new category of heter, Tzairich HaGuf, I need it for my body. It's a subcategory of oichel nefesh. So we just developed three categories. We have oichel nefesh, machshirei oichel nefesh, and tzorech haguf. I need it for my body. Now that's going to be very complicated. I need a lot of things for my body. What's going to be under this banner of tzorech haguf? I need for my body. So if you look over... exactly. That's what I want to get to. That's one of the big ones, right? Everyone tumbles about, can you take a shower on Yom Tov? No one ever thinks twice about taking a shower on Chol HaMoed. No one ever once thinks twice about using bar soap on Chol HaMoed. We know we had a share about this many, 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 probably years already, that bar soap is a question. Are you allowed to use bar soap? You're not going to go into any regular person's house and see them using bar soap on Shabbos Yom Tov. Even though, Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach is quoted in the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chazeh saying, this is one of the big misnomers in Klal Yisrael. There's absolutely nothing wrong with using a bar soap. It's not what the Tveris Yisrael meant when he spoke about bar soap. He was talking about a much harder bar, not a soft bar like we have. But we all know no one uses bar soap. No one thinks twice about using bar soap on Chol HaMoed. What's the heter? Again, we mentioned over and over, Chol HaMoed is aser b'malacha. Which malacha? The same malacha you can't do on Yom Tov. So why is bar soap mutter? The answer is, tzarecha Yom Tov. People brush their teeth on Chol HaMoed. Why? You don't brush your teeth on Yom Tov, or you don't brush your teeth on Shabbos. Questionable. We spoke about that also once. Says Yishmer Shabbos, Kachas in number 8, U'mutter l'hachi mayim l'srachetem. You're allowed to boil up water. Gamer mitzayin l'orchetz kagufa, if you just want to wash your whole body, which is not permitted on Yom Tov. Mutal tzachzach shinai, let her brush your teeth. Lechotz b'sabon, use bar soap. Hein sabon kosh, hein sabon rach, whether it be hard soap, soft soap, all mutal. Mutal histarek, ulekloya sarus, letzmos, letzvayas v'sayim, you're allowed to put on lipstick. Lekroya near toilet. You're allowed to cut toilet paper, Chol HaMoed. How many people don't think about that? You're not allowed to cut toilet paper on Yom Tov. You're allowed to cut toilet paper on Chol HaMoed. Why? That's letzarech. Letzarech gufay, I need it. All these things are mutter like you do during the week. You don't need to do any shinuim. But why are all these things mutter? We don't think about it. But why are all these things mutter? They're under the banner of what's called tzorech haguf. I need it for my body. My body needs certain things. Now, that might also would have been perhaps why shaving and haircuts could have been mutter on Yom Tov. Haircuts and shaving are not mutter on Chol HaMoed, not because it's a malacha, because you could have justified it as tzarech haguf, I need it for the upkeep of my body. Why are haircuts and shaving not allowed? That's a special gzeira. We want to make sure you take your haircut and take your haircut and your shave before you come into Yom Tov. But the Rishayim discussed, many Rishayim write, that haircuts and shaving are not also as malacha because of this heter. It's tzarech haguf. It's for the upkeep of my body.
Cutting your nails
would be the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Same thing.
Mitoch doesn't apply to...
So we maybe we'll talk a little bit about that. That's a question of how far that's going to go, of how far we're going to extend mitoich with these types of things.
That's
correct. On Yom Tov itself.
Nothing to do with food. I'm allowed to go ahead.
Sometimes, right. Sometimes. That's the complicated sugya of when and how. So we talked a little bit about that in some of the shurim here, a lot about it Sunday morning, but how far do we extend mitoich to all different situations? But here we're saying, hopefully this Sunday we'll talk more about it as well, but hopefully here we're saying that these things are mutter because they're mutter chol hamoed. You don't have to come out to any fancy Torah. This is completely mutter. So in the Sefer Chol Hamoed Kol Chasa, he has an interesting shayla that's probably not negated to anyone in this room, but probably negated to your wives, perhaps negated. He wants to know, Seder Pei Anachris. Can you set a sheitel on Chol Hamoed? So many of you maybe are wondering, what does it mean to set a sheitel? S-E-T. Okay? So basically what it means is, he explains to you, Seder HaPeyas HaNasis B'derech Chal, Aidei Pins. They pin it up and they make it all in place and it's ready to go. Again, they don't cut it, but they set it, they form it this way, it's ready to be worn. Is that permissible on Chol Hamoed? So what's the shaila? What's the starting point? So he writes over here, Yesh Misha Oyser, Afilu Kishanasa Tzorech Hamoed. Some people answer it. I get the shayla often. People ask, what can they do with their sheitel on Chol Hamoed? Obviously, you can't cut it. Well, that's a question if you can cut it. But can you wash it? Can you set it? Can you blow it? That's the same shayla. So some people over here say it's aser. V'yesh mishemata. Some people permit it. Who says what? So if you look on the bottom, the footnote, Kuf Memi writes, Mishum shezeh b'chlal gzeiros hagiluach. Those that aser, they hold the same way. You're not allowed to cut your hair on Chol Hamoed. Even though, again, many achrayim hold there is no issur to cut a sheitel during the 3 weeks. There is no issur to cut a sheitel during the 9 days. Else cutting, it's not here. It's not human here. But supposedly Rav Moshe held that this is part of what Chazal didn't want you doing. They didn't want you setting your sheitel on Chol Hamoed. They want you to do it before. You're supposed to do all the prep before Yom Tov. So therefore, Zakhtar Rav Moshe, this is included in the Gzeiros HaGiluach. Even though Rav Moshe acknowledges that this is not real here, it's a sheitel, Rav Moshe held it's awesome.
If you accept Tzorach HaGluf,
oh, so that's the question. Why? So Zog, the opposite opinion says, no, it's mutter. Why? Because it's included in Kishut, Kishut, Eisha. That was the opinion of the Deborah Tzin Rav. So it's a machlokes of Moshe Feinstein and the Deborah Tzin Rav. If Moshe Feinstein thought, and perhaps more creative, it's included in the Gzeira de Rabbanon of doing everything before Yom Tov. Says the Deborah Tzin Rav. It's included in this halacha Shulchan Aruch. Women have this heter called Tzarech Agov. This is Tzarech Agov. The same way they're allowed to put on makeup, they're allowed to remove the hair, they're allowed to make the hair look nice, they're allowed to do anything that's required for their better for what they want to look better on Chol Hamoed. So it's a machlokes achrayim. He concludes over here in the Sefer Chol Hamoed Kol Chasa. He writes, "Min haroyim loy mikach ayidei shetig sheimuchu mesudim lefnei Hamoed." It's preferred to take care of all these things before Yom Tov. But perhaps if a lady, for some reason, let's say something happened, she got stuck in the rain on the first day of Yom Tov, and the sheitel gets ruined. Now she wants to have it nicer for the 2 days. So according to the Deborah Tzin Rav, there's makom b'meikol. Maybe even according to Rav Moshe's makom b'meikol. When you did what you could have done before Yom Tov, and then something crazy happened, perhaps she'd be allowed to then have it set and blown and washed and fixed, so she'd be able to use it on Yom Tov itself. Sorry?
What about sewing on a button on the...
So that we're going to maybe talk about. That's normally assumed to be aser, but you can use a ma'isa hedget. A ma'isa hedget would be mutter to sew a button. How would that look? So basically the lines wouldn't be normal. It'd be like a zigzag lines or weaker lines. But that would be mutter. Letzarech Yom Tov.
What? Buy a
sheitel? Yeah. That's the problem. We're trying to figure. It's so unclear. We have a Gemara in Moed Katan that talks about Tircha. We have Mashmois and Chagiga, that's like Yom Tov and Shabbos. So we're mamish shooting it. And I was so happy to find last year that this in Karel, that's how I pointed this out. Like, it's so unclear. It's mamish, so unclear, so it's so hard to figure out. Exactly. Yeah, that's what the Gemara says. That one of the hardest things to figure out is halachas of Chol Hamoed. So people just, for that reason, decide not to learn it because it's so complicated. They skip it. But we're trying to figure out, navigate our way. Buying is always done, is better, is always assumed better not to do. It's always better not to buy because maybe we'll talk about that next. Right. So there is a hetter sometimes to buy things, Letzarech Hamoed, which Blinai don't have to. Yeah, so we're going to have to hold off, hopefully cover that next week as well. Now, what happens, what would you consider electricity outage considered? And I'm not talking about you have communal electricity. Let's say you have a local in your house, lights issues, and you want to get an electrician to come fix them. Under what banner would you be able to justify that? Would that be machshire eichel nefesh? Well, probably not. So the refrigerator would be machshire eichel nefesh. Let's say the lights in the house. That's a tzarech aguf. You need that for for yourself.
But
we haven't yet seen Tzarech Hamoed is needs to be more defined. You have to break it down into a more subcategory than just Tzarech Hamoed. So we'd call that, well, possibly Eichel Nefesh, if the refrigerator is not running. The stipler thought if you don't have lights, it's pretty hard to eat. So he writes over in the Sefer. No, Shulchan Aruch. No, can't. No, you can't. You can't. Shulchan Aruch writes.
You can do it for on Shabbos or Shavuot. You're allowed to do it. Chol
HaMoed,
I have no line, I can't
even
do through a guy.
No. So on the halacha on Chol is anything you can't do, a guy can't do. So if this requires fancy working, fancy fixing, you would not be allowed to do it through a guy. Now, obviously, if it's the tzarech, the actual suda, so then you'd have the heta like you mentioned before, shvus to shvus. So if you look over here in the Sefer, he writes, Kiba hachashmal b'chol habayis machmas katzar. There's a shortage. We're at number 10. If the electricity goes out in the house, obviously if it goes out in the whole community and Con Ed comes down, it's not your, they're doing it for the neighbor. They're not working for you. They're doing it for the Goyim and for the city. But if it goes out in your house, your own house has a power outage. Mutar l'takin v'afil adyum. And that you're allowed to get fixed even with a professional. Listen to this chiddush he has, which maybe we can argue. Achim kove hachashmal b'cheder mesuyam. Let's say one room has a shortage. Then he writes, "Im ein lahem cheder acher lo durbo." But if there's no other room, then mutal atakte b'maisu uman. Meaning, he's suggesting is, let's say you have five bedrooms, and one bedroom is having an issue with the lights, but it's not really going to affect anyone else. You have other rooms, you have other places doing it. The den won't have lights on chalamet. Okay, so you'll hang on the living room and the dining room. So he thinks in that case there's no heter because who's it affecting? It's just, it bothers you in your mind that you don't have an extra bedroom. It's not really affecting anything practically. Tikun sheirutim, the toilets, that gets very sticky. What's the justification of fixing a toilet? That's tzarech haguf. You need to be able to go to the bathroom. That's tzarech haguf. Oh, so he writes over here, ubeis akise shenistam ukiyetzi b'mutter, afilu ma'is uman. Okay, so let's say you have a broken toilet, you call up the plumber. Again, you have to make sure your plumber's working. If he's a front plumber, he might not want to show up either. But if he's going to show up, or you call whoever you're going to call, that's fine. But he writes over here, yesh oid beis akise bebayi she'efshel ishtamish bo. But if you have another bathroom, many of us are zeichet to have more than one bathroom in our home. I have four bathrooms, and my kids always find the one that I'm in. So no matter how many other bathrooms we have, they think we only have one. I tell them, you know, there's other bathrooms. They say, no, they only, wherever I am, that's the one they always need. Okay? So Zog to him, at least according to the Hilchas Chag B'Chag, Rabbi Karp, he thinks that if let's say you have a taco, one bathroom is out. The toilet is stuffed, you need to get it, you need to have it snaked out, which we'll call a Ma'is Uman. But you have three other bathrooms in the house. Two other bathrooms, or he says even one other bathroom. Again, he lives in Eretz Yisrael. Different, perhaps, than what we in America need. Now, again, if you're having over guests and you're having large families and extended families, having more than one bathroom is not going to help you because you multiplied the people. So, if you feed the people, you need more. Okay. It's just you and your wife, and you, Baruch Hashem, have another bathroom. So, yeah, then I hear what he's saying. But if you're going to have over your kids and grandkids and you're going to have one bathroom, I think that's a bad idea. So he thinks if you have another active bathroom, there's no heter. Again, because the heter is based on tzarech haguf. So he's arguing, you don't need tzarech haguf. Now, I don't. You have to figure out. You have to try to be Mishire as best as you can.
It's like if you have two cars and one doesn't work, are you allowed to have
a... Right. So you have to figure out what's the... Again, if you understand the heter is tzarech haguf, I need this for my body. So you have to ask yourself, is there going to be a potential need that I'm going to need a place to go to the bathroom? Because my wife might be in there, or I might be in there, and there's other people in the room. Again, I would... You have to know how many people are in the house. You have to know, again, if there's more than one or two people in the house, perhaps you're going to need more than one bathroom. So this is the shaila that does often come up. Then he writes in Shemir Shabbos Kachos an interesting shaila. He writes, Shemati me'agonim Shabbos Zalman or Bach Shlita, says it by Newworth, I heard from Reb Shlomo Zalman, who was very close with, Dimyeshle Berez Mayim Bambatya. Let's say you have a Berez Mayim Bambatya. You have a sink in the tub. And most of us, we don't think about this, but we have sinks in the kitchen. We have sinks in the bathroom also. So he says, what happens in the case where you have a sink in the bathroom and the sink in the kitchen breaks? Are you allowed to have a plumber come to fix the sink in the kitchen? We just learned earlier that you're allowed to fix the sink in the kitchen because that's machshir yechol nefesh. What's the heter? Just take all the water that you need and get it from the sink in the bathroom. Fill up all the pots in the sink in the bathroom. Now the truth is, the layout of those sinks are very hard to put a big pot in. It's come out almost impossible. I would have a very hard time trying to fill up a soup pot, or you're making a dish with something to get the, unless he means your mamash mechuyev to take water in another utensil, schlep it to the kitchen. All right, now today people have this thing in the kitchen, they have a thing that they can hook up straight to the water. So they put the pot mamash right there and the water drops right in. That's a huge, huge toive. That makes life a lot easier. So he wants to know what happens if you have running water in another sink, but the kitchen sink is broken. Is that justifiable to fix? Now, I would have said, why is that any different than what we learned earlier? We learned you're allowed to fix machshir erech nefesh, even though you can borrow one. So this is like the same thing as borrowing one is going to the bathroom, which is obviously a huge tircha to go to the bathroom. So he writes over, if you have active water, Reb Shlomo Zalman thought it's not so poshut, because you have water running, you have water in the sink. Teretz says you don't want to go to the sink in the bathroom to get water to cook in the kitchen. It's a huge inconvenience. Says Reb Shlomo Zalman, mechatei, so that's a heter. But he writes, he said, let's say, for example, you don't normally use that water. Let's say you have a filter on your water in the sink. You don't have a filter in the water, or just whatever, for whatever reasons, which I think most of us fall under that category. Most of us don't use our sinks in our bathroom for anything else besides for just the bathroom use. So he thinks then it would be mutter. I guess you could make the argument, let's say there are some people that have sinks outside their bathroom or like a washing station. If you have a washing station in the living room, and then this kitchen sink breaks, so what's the justification of fixing the sink in the kitchen? Just use everything from the washing station or another sink that you have in the house. That's Reb Shlomo Zalman's, we'll call this a chumrah. Sounds like a chumrah to me. If you look over here in Emes Liakiv, Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky records a story. What's the story? Pa'machas koydim yontif, toho oyved v'hichlev ez beres hamayim bebeis machem lekar, v'chein lehepach. Okay, a bad plumber. He put the wrong faucet in, the wrong nozzle or whatever it is. He swapped the hot one and the cold one. They can't use the normal. I'm not really sure why not. I'm not just flopped. Unless there's something underneath the. I'm not sure over here. Right, maybe you can help me out over here. I'm not sure what you could have. It must have connected things. Right, so then you just reverse. Yeah. Rabbi Yaakov did not permit fixing a cholamoid. The mekimin shaber is oived v'yesh mayim el shetzarich lesragel azeh in lahater. Again, that it's working. It's just a pain because everything is backwards. V'shuv pamach is another story. Loi hayimayim chamim v'ayis b'shul shetivas kelim. There was no hot water to wash the kelim. For us, Rabbeim l'takim b'cholamoid. He said you can't. Okay, no hot water, and you wanted to wash the kelim, not to cook, to wash the kelim.
Are you allowed to wash kelim?
Oh, so we assume you're allowed to wash kelim on cholamoid because that's all under the category of eichel nefesh, machshir eichel nefesh, the whole shebang.
Even if you have other dishes.
I would assume, right, you need it for Cholamoy. That's right, right, like we learned in the Sugivim.
I don't get this discussion anywhere. I mean, until this year, I've never heard anybody.
And what?
They're going in their cars, they're going.
That's right. No one even thinks twice. Right, we learned last week that the Chazanish wouldn't carry without an Erev on Cholamoy.
But the
no, not at all. It's lost. It's totally lost. Everyone stays away from it. That's why we decided to do it this year.
No,
no one's not like that Chazanish. No, I agree with you.
No, like anybody.
Oh, there are things.
On anything.
On some of this.
Before you get a suit, they go.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I don't know if that's right. I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying that's right. I'm trying. That's what I think we're doing this. We got to bring to light that there is such a thing called Cholamoid, and we spoke about it in the first year. That Mishnah Novus says if you mevaza Cholamoid, you can lose your Chelik and Ayla Mabba, even if you have Torah and you have Maisim Toivim. It's a Pacha. And again, most of us are Bishoyig. I don't think anyone's deliberate. It's just that people skip that's, you know, people all own a Chelik Vav Mishtabur. They just skip the first 10 Simonim that are all Cholamoid. No.
That we're
not really. Not again, some things, yes. Not everything. Driving your car could be, and going to work maybe, and certain things, yeah. But, you know, this Nasa Keheta mentality that people have a Cholamoid really comes from ignorance. It doesn't come.
A boat ride, you're in Florida. Maybe
usher?
Is it worse than a
car? A boat ride. So, right. So we would assume that would be under the banner of it's to enhance my yomtiv, which would be mutter, right. That would be the assumption.
I mean, most people, things that people do voluntarily during the course of their lives is to enhance
something.
Their situation is.
Usually.
Right? In other words, I don't want to, I don't know, whatever, go for a walk, drive. Go,
right, but we mentioned last week that many achrayim held that just, let's say, for example, fishing for pleasure would be usher. That was the opinion of quite a few gedolei achrayim. Which, if that's going to be usher,
even though
it's usher. Rav Moshe permitted it, but Rav Shmuel Vosner usher it, Rav Chaim Greenblatt usher it. Quite a few, that would make a lot of things usher. That means, let's say, for example, you want to go paintballing a cholamoid. Paintballing is probably got tons of malachas involved in that. That would make it usher as well. Besides, I think it's also all year long to go paintballing, especially don't go with your family, don't go with your father. You can really ask for real halachic issues. But yeah, I think we have to try to rethink. Again, the purpose of all this is really for myself, as included everyone else, is to relook at Cholamoy with a whole different vision, as opposed to just being regular, you know, it's like weekday with halal. You know, it's Yom Tif with heterim. We have to look at it the other way. It's Yom Tif with significant amount of heterim.
And again, according to all those sheikhs that take a chomedic look, they don't put on tefillin.
Avapikin, then. That's correct. That's another issue.
It's strange that usually it works the other way, that the Chachamim set up something that protects the Yom
Right, meaning, right. Their leniency has made it that some people went overboard. Yeah. Right, that was the problem. If we would have kept it the way, I mean, the truth is, if we would have kept it the way it was originally, everything would have been aser. So Chazal did us a favor, and they brought in the horizon, and people then, and this is what we saw in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah writes, don't be more mekel than Chazal were. Mishnah Berurah writes them before us. And that's what ended up happening today. Everyone just took it to the furthest degree, and everything became nasa keheter. Yeah, so we're going to try to figure out what exactly we can do. So Rabbi Yaakov had a shayla where he wanted to know, can he fix the water just to wash the dishes? Rabbi Yaakov paskins v'asar Rabbeinu l'takim b'chol amoyd b'kim sheish eitz acheres hazeh k'goyim l'cham b'mayim u'kodayim. Rabbi Yaakov said, what's the heter? Take cold water and boil it up. Wow. V'im k'im shuv ein hatikim b'chol makshir o'echol nefesh. Now, One second. Remember we learned earlier, you don't have to inconvenience yourself? This is really inconveniencing yourself. Said Rabbi Yaakov, Mikom Wakim Kosh Yeshla, Eitza Biatzma Yeshla Hachmer. Rabbi Yaakov learned Pshat in the Mishnah Berurah was inconveniencing yourself versus have to come on to others. That's what the Mishnah Berurah's difference is. The difference of the Mishnah Berurah is not borrowing is a pain, it's borrowing means I have to come on to someone else. But if I can inconvenience myself by myself, that I have to do. That would explain what we saw from Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach. We said Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach says I have to schlep the water from the kitchen, from the bathtub into the kitchen. I thought you don't have to inconvenience yourself. No, of course you have to inconvenience yourself. You don't have to ask other people for favors. The Mishnah Berurah She'ela means you don't have to ask other people for a favor. But you yourself, yeah, you got to inconvenience yourself. This is obviously a more of a chumer dika approach. Okay, so that's a question of what breaks in the kitchen. What about after heating or the air conditioning goes on Chalamayt? So everyone right off the bat knows the answer to that. Of course it's mutter. Under what heter? So again, they'll tell you what's the... Again, we always got to ask yourself, what heter does it fall under? The fact that everyone does it is not a heter. Tzarech hagof. That will be tzarech hagof. If it's freezing, or you don't have hot water, that ain't l'cha tzarech hagof g'day l'mezu. You got to be able to function. So if you look over in the Mishnah Berurah number 13, the Mishnah Berurah writes over here, in the second line, he writes over here, v'im hazman hukar, if it's cold, mutal lahamit tanra beis achayrif, we learned earlier that you're only allowed to fix an oven if you're going to cook with the oven. Says the Mishnah Berurah, there's another time you're allowed to fix an oven if you need it to keep warm. I feel in a royal office, but you can't cook with it. We have a rule. We talked about this probably years already when we did the sugya of Amirul and Ochri. What are you allowed to ask a guy? So one of the things you're allowed to ask a guy is to get heat into the house because we have a rule. Hakol choylem etzel tzina. None of us can handle the cold weather. On Shabbos Yom Tov, let's say for example you have a day like today where the temperature just dropped out of nowhere and also now you're freezing and your temperature is not ready for it, so you'd be able to go over to the guy and say, listen, please, my house is very cold, I need you to heat up the house. So you have a heter called Hakol choylem etzel tzina. So that would be justification fixing the heat. What about the reverse, fixing the air conditioning? Do we say the same rule? So that we mentioned back then as a machloikas achreinim. Today the poskim are very mekel because they say we're all a bunch of spoiled Americans. We cannot handle being a little hot. Now, I'm sure many of you remember there was a time where not everyone had air conditioning. I'm not so old. I remember growing up, not every bedroom in my house or every room in my house had air conditioning. There was a time people survived. Teretz is, we don't say hakol choyle etzel chama. So if that's true, are you allowed to justify fixing the central air or fixing an air conditioner or chalamayt? So if you look in the Sefer Cholamoit Kachas, number 14, he writes, Tikun mizagein oima orer. Kishimaziga havir cham moid. When the weather is very hot, again, here in New York, but again, you have places, let's say in Florida, or other parts of the world where it is extremely hot, a Cholamoit. Kishish tsayrich dechuf l'taknid, there's a pressing need to fix it. Himatikun hu maise hejit mutter. So if it's a maise hejit mutter, I don't know. In the central air department, I don't know what's a ma'aseh hedya, what's a ma'aseh I don't know what they do. I know they go up there and they touch things and they crawl around. I have no idea what they're doing. For all I know, they're knocking on the door. Then they give you a really big bill. I don't know what they're doing. So he writes over, if it's a ma'aseh hedya, it's a mutter. I don't know how to figure that out. Omnam. Kishiyesh tzarech betikun ma'aseh uman. But let's say you need to have a ma'aseh uman, which very often is the case. So he thinks over, yesh lechatchil ha'aseh sa'idin nachri. Now, this is the first time we saw heta aydin nachri. Shulchan Aruch says anything you can't do, a guy can't do. Here he thinks suggests using a guy. Ukashi Efsher, Mutter. This is talking about an air conditioner. By cold, it's Mutter Lagamri. Again, if the heating goes, or the hot water goes, or anything that's needed for cold, no problem. It's Mutter Lechatchila, even a Mais Uman. Here we're talking about something like air conditioning, which one could argue is not a real necessity. There's no cloud. The Gemara never says this rule called Hakol Choylem Eitzel Heat. Eitzel the sun, because they didn't always have air conditioning. So the later Achronim write, well, that's today. We got so used to having air conditioning. Without air conditioning, we're all going to, you know, go crazy. Now, the truth is, I don't know, statistically, most of us will probably not dehydrate from the lack of air conditioning. We just, psychologically, we can't handle it. People do get sick from the cold temperature. So he writes over here, but if it's impossible, then you can use a Maisa Uman, even a Jew. But he writes, make sure you do it in a way that's not Mizalzel Cholamoit. I guess what he means by that is try to make sure it's not like a big procedure where, you know, you have a whole crew and they're working on the house. It looks bad. So who are the players in this Shita? So he quotes over here, who's the Machmirin? The Debrecin Rav. Interesting. The Debrecin Rav usually took a more makeup approach. Here he's Machmir. He thought that fixing an air conditioner is not really justified. It's not really, there's no klal. Hakol choylem. That's not enough.
Where does he live?
The Debrecin Rav lived in Debrecin in Hungary. And then he lived in Borough Park.
Well, certainly,
Chalmud Sukkah is supposed to be the Sukkah. That's right. That's correct. That's true. So, who were the Mekilim? So, we have over here number Kuf Yud Ches, the Minchas Yitzchak, and Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein was Mekil. Rav Moshe Feinstein held, and he writes like this in his Tshuvas, about, I think, by Amir Lenoch as well. He thought that we can't handle being in the hot. So, therefore, Rav Moshe held that you could Halach L'Maisa, you definitely have Hul B'Semichon to call up a Maisa Uman to fix a central ear. Again, if you're going to have small children or elderly or those that are have questionable health issues, then of course there's room to be Mekel, obviously, as well.
There is no instance in which we would be more Machbir on a Cholamoid than we would be on a Yantif.
Hard to believe, man. It would be hard to believe, yeah. Now, next Shia, which happened to me this Sukkis. Fixing glasses. My son stepped on his glasses on Chol HaMoed. So the question was, this was already Hashanah Rabbah, which again, Hashanah Rabbah is a jazzed up way of saying Chol HaMoed, because there's no special dinim of Hashanah Rabbah with regard to Chol HaMoed. It's the same day. So there's not even a mention of Hashanah Rabbah in the Torah. That's one of the famous, in Emes Liakov, my Rebbe, Rav Kalman Epstein, asked Rabbi Yaakov about this. He says, why is it there's so much hopla about Hashanah Rabbah? But it doesn't say anywhere. It's not in the Torah. It's not in Mishnayis. It's not even in Gemara about that Hashanah Rabbah is such a big day. Everyone knows Hashanah Rabbah is such a big day. Where does it say it? So Yaakov has a whole piece where he explains that some things that are so big, we keep a secret. There's a whole mahalach to answer it. Nice Emes Liakov and Parshas Emor. But Hashanah Rabbah is the same as regular Chol HaMoed. So my son stepped on his glasses on Hashanah Rabbah, the point where they were bent. So can you get them fixed on Chol HaMoed? So let's work through our mind. What are some of that term? Tzarech HaGuf. That's a Tzarech HaGuf. You gotta know where you're going. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Tshuva number 15. Ulatakin emishkafayim shenishvu lo b'chol hamoed vaday mutter. That's mutter. Now, what about sunglasses? Or let's say reading glasses. Again, Rav Moshe assumes you need this because you need to know you can't walk into the wall. But let's say you have something like sunglasses. Rav Moshe talks about sunglasses. Umishkafayim deshemesh. So imhulay raklit tanug ein lesakin. If you don't really need them, it's just, you like it. I think today already sunglasses are more done for medicinal reasons because the sun rays is dangerous for your eyes. That's mutter. Mutter. So I argue, what would reading glasses be?
Definitely.
So you can't read without it. Right, you can't read without it. It's uncomfortable, it's dangerous. So that would be mutter as well. So according to Rav Moshe, fixing your glasses is a mutter under the banner of Tzarech HaGuf. Okay, so what about other types of things that enhance our life? Right. I think you have nothing else. Obviously, if you have nothing else. So if you look in Shemir Shabbos Kolchasa, he writes in the footnote that what about fixing Machshir Shemiyah? Let's say you want to fix a hearing aid. Avada, a person can't hear. That's a Tzarech HaGuf. You can't get more uncomfortable not being able to hear things. So that's also mutter. Now he talks about what if you want to fix a phone? Ulam the talking telephone or mashkefes. Right, telephone's very enjoyable. I get to hear how the family's doing, how the grandkids are doing. Is that mutter to fix on Chol HaMoed? Says the Shmir Shabbos Kachosi, Mistav the Kivin the Tzorich Hashimish Bekelim Elu, who Yoisim in Harogel Eitzah Kol Adam, the Einam Bechlal Zeh. He thinks that's a Madrega above, meaning everyone needs to see and everyone needs to hear. Everyone has to hear how the grandkids made out at the first night of the Pesach Seder. That's nice. You want to hear it. But that's not a Tzarech HaGuf. You don't need that. So he thinks that's a Madrega above. And if your phone would break, or if your cell phone would break, this is, tell us the people, say, what do you have? Father, you got to fix the cell phone on Chol HaMoed. Probably a lot of fix it on Yom Tov also, because of some made up. So he thinks, no. Shmir Shabbos Kachos thinks fixing your phone is not necessary. You want to have a phone. Of others, Kashmak. It's not mutter. However, if you look over in Chol HaMoed Kol Chasai, he writes.
What year did he write that?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Oh, so that's what I want to get. So look at the next one. This is the Sefer Chol HaMoed Til Chasid. This is also more more recent. Machshei telephone mutl ataknim b'moed. He allowed to fix the phone on Yom Tov. Why? He listened to this svara. Shebizmanenu she'eder machshei ze ololios kosher b'matzavim shal sakana. You need to have a phone. It's dangerous. How can you not have a phone in the house? So how can you go in the car without a phone? It's dangerous. Okay. It's a something. This is the Sefer Chol HaMoed Til Chasid, a contemporary Sefer. It's an argument. Again, how far I'm going to go with it, I don't know, I'm not sure. But this is probably...
Your wife and your child to travel.
Exactly. Today, even though everyone here in this room for many years went in a car without a cell phone, right? But today the new norm is...
It's a different world.
It's a different world today. You don't go in a car without a cell phone. It's funny. For a while, my landline was down. And I was always, should I buy a landline? I have cell phones. And then one day I had to leave. I was out of the house. My wife was out of the house. I left my daughter babysitting. And I realized I left my daughter babysitting my kids without a phone. That's taka pachad. It's very scary not to have a phone. We don't think about it. But a phone is a real necessity in the world we live in today. So he thinks, no, that's mutter. That's the tzarech haguf. Again, there are people today when they don't have their phone, they have attacks, they can't breathe, they don't know what to do. That's also tzarech haguf. That'd also be mutter, I guess, to fix it on Chol HaMoed. Okay, continuing on this thought process, let's go one step further. If you look at number 18, what's the halachic status of medical treatment on Chol HaMoed? For many people, Chol HaMoed, many people, let's say in the chinuch world, Chol HaMoed is a day off, they're off. They'll get all the doctor's appointments done. They'll go to the dentist, they'll go to the eye doctor, and they'll go here, they'll get all the medical treatment done. Is that mutter on Chol HaMoed? Again, you would never go to the doctor's appointment on Yom Tov. Because, not because of the driving, because there's got to be something wrong with going to the doctor on Chol HaMoed. Even though if you stop and think about what exactly is happening, you have to go by, depending what doctor you're going to. He's taking x-rays, he's taking blood. I have to work it out, which we'll talk about. But no one goes to the doctor on Yom Tov. What about going on Chol HaMoed?
Were you talking about elective?
I'm talking about elective. Again,
okay,
obviously...
So can you do it before Yom Tov?
Ah, so let's see. So if you look in the Ramon Shulchan Aruch, number 18, he writes... where did I go over here? So Shulchan Aruch writes, number 18. Kol refuah mutar b'Chol HaMoed. All refuah is mutar b'Chol HaMoed. That's it. Open, close.
But it's just going for a checkup.
So that's what's refuah. Refuah means you are already ill. Or does refuah mean I want to prevent ill? What's going on over here? So if you look at the Mishnah Berurah, the Mishnah Berurah writes, Hainu, shemoto lasis afilo melacha gemura tzarechafu. If we're talking about for medical treatment, you could do anything, even melacha gemura. V'afilo l'chayla shein bay sakana. We're not talking about someone who's dying. Chayla shein bay sakana. You can do whatever you need to do.
You're in CVS picking up some medication. And while you're there, I couldn't get my flu
shot. That's right. Oh, flu shot. That's a big one. So the truth is, there's a din of akazas dam. You're not allowed to have bloodletting on Erev Yom Tov. The question is, this happened last year. Last year, Shavuos, where I live in Queens, there was a fear of a measles outbreak. Yeah. So everyone was getting what's called their what was it called again? The thing to test if you're still the titers. Okay. Everyone was running to get their titers checked, which is important. Question was, is that considered Hakazas Dam? You're not allowed to do Hakazas Dam on Erev Yom Tov or on Chol HaMoed. But what's Hakazas Dam? What's considered Hakazas Dam? Hakazas Dam normally means they put these leeches on you and suck the blood out. To get a regular blood test is not necessarily the same thing. So let's say you want to get this stuff done on Chol HaMoed, you want to get your flu shot on Chol HaMoed, all these types of things. So let's say forget that. Are you allowed to take medication on Chol HaMoed? Can we all know you're not allowed to take medication on Shabbos and Yom Tov? What about a Chol HaMoed? Let's say a Chol HaMoed, I want to pop a Tylenol. So on Yom Tov, it's questionable. Can I do so on Chol HaMoed? So everyone knows, of course you could, right? Says Mr. Brewer, you could. Hab Yom Tov asa afilu lishta is davishu mishum refuah. On Chol HaMoed, on Yom Tov, you can't? But it's mutter on Chol HaMoed. Yom Tov, no. Chol HaMoed, yes. There's no gzeir shechika samamonim. There's no gzeir rabbanon on medication on Chol HaMoed. So you can take all your medication, take your vitamins, take whatever you need. That's all allowed.
On what basis is this?
So you're going to have to argue some tzarech haguf, right? You're going to have to say this is some extension of tzarech haguf, right? That would be the simple understanding.
You don't take medicine on Shabbos?
No, for those people.
No,
I'm not talking about the regular, for those things that are not mutter.
Right.
So if you need the medication to continue daily basis, as Rabbi says, true, but that's matter. We're talking about, the headache that, will go away with time. It's just that you want to just pop a pill. Right, so we mentioned in the shiur when we talked about this, there are ways of getting around it. You could put it in the food, or you make it not nicker, or you take it before you start to feel the pain. Let's say, for example, every day you wake up, every Shabbos after you wake up after a nap, you get a headache. So take the pill before. You're not sick yet.
Let's
Oh, no. That's the other option. Or you put it in the food. There's a lot of ways of perhaps getting around it. Machal b'riyim, you have a cup of tea, even though you have a cold, so that's machal b'riyim, things like that. So now, Shaila is, why is it mutter to do medicinal treatment on cholamite? So if you look at the Nishmas, I wrote Nishmas Avram. Okay, Nishmas Avram over here, I don't mean the Nishmas Avram, the Sefer, I mean the Nishmas Avram, the commentary and the Chayadim. He writes like this. He says, why is medicine mutter? He says, Te'ein l'cho dover ha'ovid godl mizeh. It's a dover ovid. Everyone knows it. The one hetter that the whole world knows on cholamite is dover ovid. They all misuse it, but everyone knows it. So he says over here, not treating your body would be a dover ovid. You're going to hurt yourself. That's a dover ovid. That is a real loss. Now again, cholim shein by sakana, yes, is a dover ovid. Now the million-dollar question is, let's say it's not anything more than just uncomfortability. No sickness, but mechush ba'alma. It's painful. Would that justify doing malach on cholamite?
That's
tzarech aguf. One would have thought it's tzarech aguf. So we'll see if Moshe does hold that way, but not everyone agrees to that. For some reason, they think that that's not enough of a heter. I'm not sure why. For example, if you look over in the Be'er Moshe, the Deber Tzina Rav, number 21, it quotes a Prima Gadim. Prima Gadim writes, the b'cholamite shari af malach gemur mishum nehavi tzarech hamoid, af l'chol l'shem v'sakana. There's nothing more losable than your body. Says the Deber Tzina Rav, what do you see? That when you keep on talking about Dover Ovid, means you're going to lose something, something's going to happen to you. You'll be uncomfortable, you're not going to lose anything. So he thinks if you're just a Mechosh Ba'almo, you're just uncomfortable, again, you would be able to take a pill. But let's say, again, it's hard to figure out the practicalities of this. Who has a Mechosh Ba'almo that he needs a Malacha to fix it? Mechosh Ba'almo means you're in pain. If you're in pain, what procedure is it really going to fix? And you're not a chayla. You're just in pain. You're going to do a procedure. I'm not really sure what you're going to do.
Just taking the medicine.
So no, medicine's mutter, not a problem. Yeah. But I'm not sure that just the practicalities over here. The Deber Tzina Rav writes another truth. If we don't get to it, he says, let's say you're very much in pain and you want to go to the doctor and run tests to figure out what's wrong with you.
Right.
That's for sure mutter. We're talking about, you know what's wrong with you. You know you have nothing wrong with you, but you're uncomfortable and you want to do some form of a malacha to remove the pain. So he's skeptical. He's not so sure if that's permitted. Comes along with Moshe Feinstein. And Moshe Feinstein writes the tshuva number 22.
Or like a massage machine, I don't know.
Yeah. I guess, yeah. Something like that. Yeah. I guess that would be a good example.
Or a hot tub.
Or something like that, I guess, right. So he writes over here, L'rapi hashinayim b'cholamoid. Let's say you want to get dental work on cholamoid. So im yesh lo tzar, if you're uncomfortable, av tzar kot vadi mutter. So Moshe thinks uncomfortability, again, unless Moshe is mechal between mechush and tzar, I don't know. To me, I think it sounds like the same. Ramosh shows if you're uncomfortable, that's enough of a justification. Even though we just saw from the Deber Tzina Rav that he thought Mechosh Ba'alma is not enough, Ramosh thinks Tsar is enough. Why? Because we learned earlier, that's the heter of Tzarech HaGuf. You don't have to be uncomfortable on Cholamoid. If your guy has a toothache, he goes to the dentist. Then Ein Loi Tsar, Zoktiv Moshe, let's say you have no pain. V'gamein Lachush is Kalkul Yosu, and you're not worried that the tooth will get worse. Ein L'Rapash B'Cholamoid. Says Ramosh, you can't get it done. That's a malacha. We just learned together that's only when there's a reason for doing it now. You're uncomfortable. Dr. Moshe, if there's no pressing reason to do it today, nothing's going to change, all bets are equal. I guess you maybe can have that, let's say you have a rash, where it's not bothering you, it's not going to get worse. It's just there, it's one of those things, you know, you have to deal with. Let's say if you have a skin thing that needs to be cut off. It's not bothering you, it's not cancerous, Baruch Hashem, nothing. It's just one of those things you got to get done. So according to Moshe, you shouldn't get it done. That's a malacha cutting off piece of the skin. That would be a real malacha derais. So according to Moshe, that's not something that should be done on cholamoid. Let's say, for example, you want to get your teeth clean on cholamoid. Teeth cleaning, although the insurance company pays for it, it's not really anything major. It's not, you don't need it. It's not going to fix anything because you're not a chayla. So obviously, it goes without saying elective surgery. That's what number 25 talks about. Just very quickly, there's a Me'iri that seems to hold, not like what we saw from the Deber Tzina Rav. The Me'iri writes that anything that's done because you're uncomfortable is mutter because... The Me'iri sounds like if you're doing something just to guard your health. Let's say you want to go for your annual physical on cholamoid. And they do a lot of malachas on those physicals. There's testing, and there's machines, and there's this, and the other. You want to go for your annual physical. Very important to have a physical. Would that be justified? So if you look at number, and Shmir Shabbos Kulchasi Paskin's Mutter. The Sefer Cholamoid Kulchasi, he brings down two shitas. where again he has the Debrezina Rav being the Mekel. Debrezina Rav writes, it's mutter. Why? Because guarding your body is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to get a physical. So therefore, Zakh Debrezina Rav, it's mutter. However, he quotes from Rav Moshe. So again, it's maybe not Kivim Lachti. You shouldn't schedule it, but I guess, you know, that's the only time the guy is available. You go to a top notch specialist, he's available, you're available. So that's a Machloikis Achorinim. Again, elective surgery should not be done on Chol HaMoed. Again, obviously, anything emergency is mutter to be done on Chol HaMoed. We ran out of time again. I really wanted to discuss Bli Nedar maybe next week. This is the fourth week that I'm trying to put it on the sheets to get to it. It's like a school that if I put it on the sheets, I don't get to it. I want to talk about the idea of Basar V'Yayin on Chol HaMoed. Everyone throws around, you have to eat meat and you have to have this. Bli Nedar, next week we'll do that. Hopefully, Dover HaAvod. We'll talk about some other things. And I don't want to go more than, I don't know if I can go more than 4 or 5 weeks. It might be us to have such a long series, but we're going to try to wrap it up to the best as we can. To try.